Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. We are sitting in for Bob today because he's off in Georgia to see his son who just graduated from boot camp. Hooray, or whatever it is you say that's military to Josiah. We're real proud of him. Today in the studio with me is Leslie Hanks. Hi, Les.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing good. Les, first of all, I want to thank you and all of Colorado Right to Life, your vice president of Colorado Right to Life, for putting on that event at the Capitol on the 25th of April. That was just a fantastic moment in time. Not just an event. It was bigger than that. It was epic, I think.
It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we have a chance of putting the whole pro-life movement back on the right track, on the personhood issue, and actually ending abortion. And it's because of you guys.
Well, thank you so much for mentioning that. I recently sent out thank yous to Dr. Keyes and Flip Benham and Judy Brown and Pastor Enyart for being with us that day and on that historic occasion, recognizing the day that the country first shook its fist at God and
That's
said
right.
that preborn babies are no longer worthy of legal protection. And I said that I really hoped in the long term that that day will be a turning point, that people will look back and say Dr. Key's speech really made a difference in Bob's presentation to the Capitol there, focus on the strategy too, just opened the eyes of the public about the horror of what we've been doing and the lack of efficiency and efficacy in what we've been doing in terms of really putting the personhood in the spotlight that it needs to be, that these little preborn babies are persons. They are fully human, and they have a dignity and an infinite value that we can't measure. And so the fact that we're just regulating the abortion procedure and being obsessed with process, as Pastor Enyart likes to tell us, we've mm-hmm. been really kind of just dragging our feet and not making much headway. So we've been 40 years in the wilderness, and I hope that that day will mark the turning point for us going in a direction of restoring legal protection to preborn life from fertilization through natural death.
I certainly think it will, and I thought the theme, 40 years in the wilderness, was so significant because we have been 40 years in the wilderness trying to end this atrocity without God, with politicians. How insane is that? You know, now that we've decided that the pro-life movement needs to be firmly planted on the Word of God, I feel like we're going to move.
It's
really
our only
do.
Chance.
Yeah.
It's our absolutely only chance. Joe, I don't get to hear the show every day because I travel a lot, and I don't know whether this has been mentioned, but if people didn't get to make it to the event, they might really enjoy looking at the Colorado Right to Life website and clicking on the icon that allow them to hear some of Dr. Key's speech. It was so powerful.
Yeah, Bob's been talking about
has
that.
He? Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
It's still something, if you haven't heard it, go to ColoradoRightToLife.org and click on Dr. Key's speech because it was really phenomenal. It's just a short 2-minute clip, isn't it? Just
video
real short,
clip that
yeah.
you can see, yeah. But it'll give you a real flavor and feel for what the day was like, and hopefully people can join us in the fall when we have a banquet where we're going to be having Phil Klein as our speaker. Phil's the
now, who's Phil, Leslie?
Former attorney general in Kansas, and he's been in the news quite a bit. Some of the folks might have seen the show last night, Bill O'Reilly show on Fox Network, where one of the young gals who took it upon herself, she's a pro-lifer in California, and she went to an abortion mill and did the same thing that Mark Crutcher's Life Dynamics organization did, trapped Planned Parenthood in a lie. Well, she was
breaking the law.
Breaking the law, yeah. Just she was making the case that she had been abused, sexually abused, or exploited, and by an adult male, and they told her to just don't give the age of the male that impregnated her, and it's a pedophile protection program, which
right.
has been in effect around this country for probably the last decade or more.
In actuality, though, she was 18, but she posed as a 15-year-old girl and said that her boyfriend was 23 or 24, and she didn't want anyone to find out about it, and they said, we don't know, just make up a date, you know, just tell us whatever you want.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. And so she had it all on tape because the young man that was with her actually filmed it, and they got caught red-handed on film and audio. So that was pretty spectacular. Thank God we've got these young kids coming up in this movement that have guts. Because you and I, Les, we're not getting away with saying we're 15.
But anyway, their film footage was on YouTube briefly,
yes,
and was really waking up the country to what's going on in these abortion mills, and it had to be yanked, apparently, so people aren't going to see it anytime soon. But Phil Klein, back to your question, is really one of the people that's in the forefront of the movement to try to bring justice to bear for these poor children that are being sexually exploited. You and I, remember, went with Pastor Enyart to the AG's office here in Colorado about a year and a half ago, and we tried to talk to, the Attorney General John Suthers wasn't available, so we had a meeting with Jason Dunn, a deputy AG, and we brought the audio tape of the sting that was done by Life Dynamics here in Colorado, mm-hmm, one of the states where young girls are being sexually exploited, and Planned Parenthood is supposed to report if they're being statutorily raped, but they don't do the reporting.
So what did they tell us to do, Les?
They said there was absolutely nothing that could be done.
But they told us
we had to do some research and then prove that there was a conspiracy of training statewide,
mm-hmm,
that all of the clinics are being told to have the workers advise the girls not to divulge the age of the dad. That's just criminal.
Not only that, but they told us the police have told us that we have to prove it. We have to know the age of the guy. We have to know the age of the girl. We have to get all the details.
When they have the funding, they have the bully pulpit,
and they have the authority.
Exactly. So it's crazy. But Phil Klein doesn't let that stop him. He's going after Planned Parenthood in a major way, and he's going to come and be
Tiller.
Our.
And Tiller,
the late-term killer. He'll be our banquet speaker in September the 22nd.
That's great.
He is a fabulously dynamic speaker.
Now, he is a dynamic speaker. He really can get the people. He's an attorney general, but he's more like a preacher, I heard. I didn't get to hear him.
Well, he's actually a district attorney at this point, because Tiller, the late-term killer in Kansas, poured $100,000 or more into the campaign to defeat him as attorney general, and that was successful. But he still has elected office, and he is going around the country speaking out strongly on this topic. He is a dynamic, amazing preacher, even though he's probably not a trained preacher. But folks will really, really learn a lot from him, and I'm hoping that we can light a fire under the people of Colorado to say teenage girls need to be protected by law enforcement and get you some backup on the front lines at the mill.
Thanks.
Where you see those girls go in and be dragged in.
Oh, it happened yesterday, Leslie. You wouldn't believe it. It was just horrible. This young girl drives in, or looked like her mother. I couldn't swear to that. Looked like her mother was driving the car. The window was down on her side, the young girl's side. So I tried to talk to her as they zoomed into the parking lot. When they got in the parking lot, the young girl jumped out of the car and started running down the parking lot to me. And her mother and two death squads grabbed her and held her and wouldn't let her come to me. And then they got her back in the car. She was in the car for 20 minutes, and then she went in.
They brainwashed her for
that
20
choice,
minutes, undoubtedly.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of choice there. When you say death squirts, Joe, do Bob's listeners really understand what you mean by that?
Well, maybe not. Maybe some don't. There are people who wear little blue bibs that say Planned Parenthood on them, and they stand in the parking lot and they escort the girls in and they distract her from listening to us when we're out there trying to talk to her. And they're called escorts, and I just can't call them that. They're death squirts. They're making sure that baby makes it in. Today
we had a save, and
yeah,
that death squirt came out of her cage, as you like to say.
She came out. The car stopped in the driveway on the way out of the abortion clinic. The girl had been crying all the way in, all the way out. She stopped and said, I'm changed my mind. I'm not killing my baby. And that death squirt could not stand it. There's no cars coming either way on the street. Nobody behind the death squirt comes up to the window and says, you have to move on. And it's just so infuriating that they could be so against the life of an innocent child and the health of a mother. It's just
their hearts are so hard down there after they've worked there for a while, Joe. It's really sad. We try to preach the word to them and let them know that someday they're going to face their maker, and they're going to have a lot of explaining to do for all the deaths that they aided and abetted in, and they can stonewall us completely. And well, they probably think that we're smug, but we can really see a horrible, haughty arrogance on their faces, that they think they're so smart and what they're doing and trying to kill these babies and protect the killers.
Right.
Just like the police the other day going after you instead of going after the real evildoers.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, today I want to talk about something. In fact, we both want to talk about something a little different, and it has to do with Islamic women and the feminist movement in America. Now, I find this appalling. We have a feminist movement in America that is so dedicated to getting our children sexualized, especially our young women sexualized, and teaching them every kind of perversion available to man, how to be a lesbian, how to do all kinds of things that we can't even speak about on the radio, wouldn't even in person. They're so self-absorbed and so involved in this that it seems as though they've totally missed what's happening with women who are really oppressed in the world. Don't you think that's true?
I agree, yes. The Muslim world, the treatment of women in the Muslim world is pretty appalling. And we see it here just on the surface that they have to keep themselves completely draped in black and faces covered in many cases.
Now, isn't there, in about a year ago, isn't there someone who shot a Muslim woman, a Muslim official, because she didn't have a veil on? Didn't this just happen a year ago?
This did just happen recently. I believe it was a Pakistani parliament member, and she had also done something so heinous as to encourage young women to participate in sports. And so this crazed Muslim fanatic believed that she was worthy of death because of her, you know, expressing of the fact that women should be able to be involved in some things in society besides just staying at home and waiting for a male escort to allow them out of the house.
Okay, we have a caller. Can we go to the caller? Dave, how are you, Dave?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, this is David in Kansas.
Hi.
A couple things I wanted to bring up. One, apparently Bob had a show about it a couple of days ago, Operation Rescue in Wichita.
Yeah.
Their mailing, which I've been getting, I've actually been, you know, helping them out off and on, and I'm actually starting to reconsider that after the things they've done over the last couple of years. They're certainly not the same organization that Randall Carey once was part of.
No, they are not Operation Rescue.
Right. And I don't know how they've got the name or whatever, but, you know, about a year ago, or less than a year ago, actually, when South Dakota came out with their new and improved abortion ban, which included, you know, the ability to kill a baby because of its sins of its father,
mm-hmm.
They supported that. And the sad part about it was anybody who opposed that, people like me, they actually called us pro-abortion.
I know.
And,
that was
pretty tragic.
And it wasn't a misjudgment on their part by, like, a typo or something.
Oh, no,
they
it was calculated.
They meant to say that, yeah.
And the terrible thing now is just recently I get this letter from them, you know, and they all but called, you know, called them St. Samuel Alito and St. John Roberts.
They did.
In this letter. Yeah, it was really tragic. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the pro-life movement, you know, the ruling.
And on and on
and at the end, you know, asking for money so that we can enforce this ban.
I want to know, Dave, how they're going to enforce this. They're going to hire a bunch of naval inspectors to go stand in those horrific horror chambers and watch these monsters pull babies out to their belly button, make sure it doesn't go back. Who could do that? If you can do it, there's something wrong with you.
But this is, you know, this is getting beyond just merely disingenuous. These guys really know what they're doing. And supporting this ban like the way they do, and I mean with the flowering words that they use, it's tragic.
Well, I'm glad that you understand what the ban is, Dave, because there's a lot of pro-lifers out there still today that don't.
Sure, there's a lot of them.
And we
on one other note, I might bring up. I live about 23 miles south of Greensburg, Kansas.
Okay.
Which probably nobody heard about up until about a week ago when the tornado struck it.
Yeah.
But if you want to see an exercise in contrast, FEMA is in Greensburg right now.
Really?
Having their meetings and doing their things and actually, you know, causing more of an impediment than anything from what I've talked to the folks up there. But south of town, which was struck just as bad, if not worse, there's a bunch of farmsteads, mostly by Mennonites. And within 2 days, they had the whole place cleaned up on their own. They actually walked 300 abreast along the path of the tornado and cleaned it up.
They didn't have meetings.
They didn't ask
people.
For FEMA. They didn't ask for government help. They just took care of the problem.
Yeah, they're amazing people.
It was remarkable to see the difference between what God and what government can do. So, just
want
to let
you know that. That's a great point, Dave. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
You bet.
Thanks for
calling,
Dave.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys go.
Okay. Well, let's get back to this. This is just Christina Hoff Sommers, who is a feminist. She is someone that I've respected for a long time. She did a book about how boys are not being educated correctly in the public schools, and she did another book on feminism and exposed them for who they are. So I have a sneaking suspicion that she's not high on the list of the feminist movement.
That's a good point, Joe. She's a very clearly intelligent thinker in the movement,
yeah.
and doesn't seem to just get hung up on the politically correct aspect of women, equal rights for women. But she's bringing up a really valid point that why are feminists so eager to waste time on frivolous things and overlook the plight of women who are being stoned to death, for instance, in some of the Muslim countries on flimsy allegations that they were out walking with a young man so that they might have been sexually involved. And so then the family feels like they have a need to end that woman's life just because she was seen with a male.
No, they're really involved in the war on the unborn here. They're not going to protect women like they say they are because they're going to kill. Half of the abortions that are performed are women, and all of the women that have had abortions have one complication or another, and mostly psychological, I would say. But they'll be involved in that war. They're so self-absorbed in their perversions that they can't see past their nose anymore, it seems like. And that's what Christina Hoff Sommers is pointing out.
The woman that you raised earlier was a Pakistani women's rights activist by the name of Zilla Usman, and she was shot to death by a Muslim fanatic for not wearing a veil. And his second reason for killing her was that she had encouraged girls in her community to take part in outdoor sports. So the point of Christina Hoff Sommers was that this type of thing doesn't even begin to get on the radar screen of an organization like the National Organization of Women. They're too busy being PC about everything going on in America, which in many cases is just not anything important enough to even be bothering with.
That's for sure. One of the things that Christina brings up is multiculturalism. The feminists have been really pushing multiculturalism. And how can you do that if you find a culture that you can point a finger at other than ours? You know, if you want to say that the culture of the Taliban isn't a good culture, then you would have to do something about that. You know, and just what is amazing to me in this is it talks about a map that the feminists did. The World Atlas for Women.
Right.
And it shades America as evil as
Uganda
in women's rights. In women's rights, where they judge them by how mobile a woman can be in their society, by what the women can wear, by what jobs they're allowed, and they make us as bad as Uganda.
And apparently in Uganda, a man can claim an unmarried woman as wife just simply by raping her. So how in the world they would say that that would be the case, that we would be on parallel with a country like that in Africa is just...
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't
make any sense to me, but that's okay, because if you start to talk about what's wrong with the feminist movement in America today, they will accuse you of flag-waving, and then they won't even address the problems that you're bringing up, like women are being mutilated in the Muslim countries because their husbands and their fathers want them mutilated sexually so that they can't enjoy a real relationship with a man, and that way they believe they're going to be fine. They won't cheat.
I think the statistic is pretty staggering. It's apparently between 100 and 140 million women who have had that, well, barbaric surgery to make it so that they don't have any sexual enjoyment in marriage.
And so that's, it's barbaric. You would think that these women who are marching for the right to their own bodies, I mean, that is their own body. It's not their child. they would have something to say around the world. It seems as though, to me, though, that the feminists have become marginalized because they're so foolish. I mean, they're having love your body parties now in the United States. They're pushing that. They have, what's her name, Ensler, Eve Ensler, who wrote a play that I'm not going to even say the name of. And then she also wrote one called, what's that one called, The Body? The Good Body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just another self-absorbed women, let's celebrate who we are. You know, you think women would celebrate the fact that they have a brain, that they can raise families and love their husbands, both their sons and daughters, and influence the world that way. But no, we have to have these, the feminists, not we. I'm not going to put us in with them. Have to have these
goofy
parties.
You and I are probably the most unfeminist women that I've ever met. But
yeah.
There's a psychology professor, Phyllis Chesler, has written a book called The Death of Feminism, and she is examining the unwillingness of the feminist movement to take on Islamic sexism. And that that's a problem that too many people are just either totally unaware of or they feel powerless to do anything about.
Another thing that the feminists seem to me as though that they're extremely anti-American. I mean, to put us on the same level with Uganda, that's crazy as far as women's rights go. I don't have to go home and wait and worry that my husband is going to say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and I'm really divorced. I don't have to do that. And I don't need a veil on my house, on my face. Probably need one on the house, but don't need one on my face when I leave the house.
What weren't you saying earlier, too, Joe, that in Sharia law that a man can have up to four wives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can have up to four wives. And then if they want a fifth, they can just get, oh, our producer's waving. Behave, Al. So, yeah, they can. And if they want a fifth, what?
They just divorce the fourth one. And
well, luckily, the woman is fortunate if she's divorced. But then again, in Muslim society, if you've been divorced, you're useless. You're lucky to be able to just eke out a living for the rest of your life. So a lot of times, divorce in a Muslim society is essentially death.
A death sentence.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's tragic.
Yep. So I just don't understand why feminists can't take a serious look at what being a woman is. Instead of, I don't call it the feminist movement. You know what I call it? I call it the masculinist movement because those
they
women.
They want to be like men.
They want to be like men. They don't want to be women.
No, they reject, they frankly reject all the attributes that really make us unique. And the biggest and most foremost is the ability to nurture and raise children.
Yeah, and you know the hand that rocks the cradle.
Rules the world.
Rules the world, and that's where our power can be. But that power that we have is in balance with the leadership of a man, and that's the way it should be. You know, when women take over movements, they feminize the movement, and the power of the movement just disseminates. The men become feminized. They're no longer men. They're feminists. You could call the men the feminists, don't you think? Because they're not masculine anymore. They become feminine. That's what happens. So one of the things that I wish that the feminists would do is pay more attention to what's going on with the Muslim world instead of wasting their time picking on us.
And how about pay more attention to the fact that half of the babies that are killed in the abortion clinics are women.
Are women.
Potential women who never have a chance.
They're definite girls. They're not women yet. That's another thing we heard from the Descort yesterday at Planned Parenthood. He came out and told us that the fetus is a potential person.
Well, when I say potential woman, I mean it would be a baby girl who
right.
had the potential to grow up to be a woman.
Right. We just want to clear that up for anyone that's looking. We have someone on the phone. Chester, hello.
Hey, Jill, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing better than I deserve, but got a story for you, and it just kind of sums up what you're talking about. A mom goes into the grocery store, or into a store, a toy store, to buy a toy for her kid. She's looking around, and she saw this one toy, but she couldn't figure it out, okay? She went to the guy behind the counter asking, you know, isn't this toy kind of complicated for this, you know, a kid to sit there and figure out how to work it? And then the guy behind the counter said, well, it's not just any ordinary toy. It's an educational toy. It's designed to sit there and bring a kid up in this world and to help him cope with it. And no matter how you put it together, it just don't work.
Yeah.
Isn't that just about the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go figure. Things just don't make sense anymore, you know it? But good news is God's in control, so I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you, Chester. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, see ya.
Okay. So we'll get back to Christine Hoff Summers. If anyone out there runs into some of her books, go ahead and read them, because even though she's not a Christian and she's a feminist, she has a lot to say and a lot of really pertinent things she has to say. So Leslie, what do you think we could do to be able to influence the feminist movement, you and I?
Boy, there's a showstopper of a question.
I know. That's why I asked.
I don't have an answer, Joe.
I
don't think they want anything to do with the perspective that you and I uphold, which is that, you know, God
is... No, but what we can do to motivate them is to put them on the spot and highlight them and spotlight them and emphasize their foolishness, because I really do believe that they're being marginalized. You know, they can yell and they have the media on their side, which is fine with me. Let them, you know, because the truth, when you shine a light on stuff like this, the truth always makes them run for the darkness. It's just like with the with what's going on with them. When you try to spotlight them to their face, they accuse you, they call you names. You're a flag waver, you're this, you're that, and they avoid the problem. But when the public has the problem and looks to them for answers, how are they going to answer? I think this is the best way to do it, don't you?
I do.
Okay, so we've got just about a minute left, Leslie. When is that banquet?
The banquet, the Light on Life banquet, is September 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's going to be in the Denver Tech Center. And for more information, folks can call 303-753-9394. But it's a little bit early. I just wanted to plant the seed that Phil Klein is just such a great speaker. He's on such an important mission, which is to bring accountability to Planned Parenthood, who is protecting pedophiles and letting young teenage girls be sexually exploited by adult males and kept sometimes in those kinds of relationships to the detriment of their future life is destroyed when they've just been used and abused like that for years on end, and then they have to deal with the aftermath, and the man moves on and marries somebody else, and she's just left as
broken,
damaged goods.
That's right. That's right. I want to say one thing to Josiah from Bob Enyart Live, the cyborg counselors in the pro-life movement in Colorado. Congratulations, Josiah. Thank you for risking your life for us. We're so proud
Amen.
Of you. And we are anxious to get your dad back here, so don't keep him too long. So hopefully he'll hear this. Thanks for listening, folks. I want to tell you, Maranatha is one of the best Christian schools around. Maranatha on Oak in Denver. Bob will be back on Monday.